John Allen presents the Creepy Crawl Podcast. Greetings and salutations, creeps, and welcome back to the Creepy Crawl Podcast, where today we cover the never-ending conspiracy theory that Avril Lavigne died and was replaced by her best friend and doppelganger. You know who can't be replaced, creeps? You. Each and every one of you. Irreplaceable and beautiful. What a combination. Quick shout out to the awesome MFers that have been helping out on Patreon. If you would like to join the sexy beast, you can do so at patreon.com/creepycrawl. You can also do so on Venmo at jonathan-allen-154. And as always, please follow me on Twitter, because Twitter is where I post bullshit, but more importantly, photos that make these stories complete. My handle, as the kids say, is at writer John Allen. No H in John. It is the boy band spelling because, hey, look at me. Does anything say boy band more than this? Alrighty. Today's fake pretend intro music, chosen by my fake co-host Woodrow, is Paranoid by Black Sabbath. Better known to some of you, well, the lead singer being Ozzy fucking Osbourne. And that song today is because, aren't we conspiracy types a bunch of paranoid people? Paranoid. Research for today's episode occurred on April 11th. And on this day in history in 1965, 40 tornadoes struck the U.S. Midwest, killing 272 people and injuring like 5,000. Whew. You know what else is a tornado, creeps? The conspiracy of Avril Lavigne being replaced by a doppelganger after her death in 2003. Every few years, this pops up with new evidence, so naturally, there's an alley next to Creepy Crawl Inc., and this story is right up it. So, with that, grab your skater boy, don't go and make things so complicated, and creepy crawl with me. So it's 1998, and the real Avril Ramona Lavigne won a country music singing contest in good old Canada. As a result, she forayed into that tumultuous world of music. Yet, our tragic story doesn't begin with the Hot Topic, Green Day-styled so-called punk music that she sang, which would cause the Stooges and the Sex Pistols to roll over in their graves if they were actually dead. Nope, our tragic story begins in 2001, when a then 17-year-old Avril Ramona Lavigne signed a million-dollar contract with music mogul L.A. Reid. And then, the dream was a nightmare. From here, creeps, Avril Lavigne's life seemingly changed for the better at first. Her debut album, Let Go, was the second best-selling album in the world that entire year. Teens and tweens began copying her style. Shares in popular mall spots like Claire's and Hot Topic skyrocketed, went through the roof. The video for the song Complicated, it saw teens across the world embark on a new trend called, quote, crashing the mall. Vans shoes and neckties were life. Girls were walking around with their Vans and their white tank top with the necktie. They had the eye makeup, full-on Avril. Bubbly girls at malls across America were faking punk and being basic impressionable teens, like a Hitler youth party in 1930. Okay, maybe not a great analogy. Moving forward. To the regular fan, Everything was kosher and cool on the Avril Lavigne front. Yet a look into Avril Ramona Lavigne's psyche during this overnight success with the career revealed one truth. Honestly, being famous kind of sucks. It takes an incredible toll on a person. The success for Avril became overwhelming, so Avril followed in the footsteps of her contemporary at the time, Britney Spears, and she hired a lookalike to kind of throw the paparazzi that were always pursuing her off the scent. Avril Lavigne's double is one Melissa Vandella. She's a decent enough lookalike if you disregard the nose, jawline, and birthmarks. And the two young women became fast friends, some people say even best friends. Melissa is said to have been trained in Avril's mannerisms, gait, walk, you know, that sort of thing. They even say that she was taught to sing like Avril. But it's impossible to mimic someone to perfection. Take a look at Brad Pitt. He still doesn't have my whole shtick down, not completely. Moving forward. Let Go was a difficult album to follow up. Remember, this was phenomenal. This was the number two album in the world. Shortly after writing sessions began on Avril Lavigne's sophomore album, her grandfather, whom she was very close to, passed away. Thus began, I guess you would say, a tsunami of despair. You've got the pressure of releasing a new record. You've got the drain of fame. On top of that, all that's mounting, then you have the loss of the grandfather. So this led Avril Lavigne into a deep, dark, and overwhelming depression. A lot of us have been there. Being famous does not make you immune to these things. As it goes, in 2003, Avril Lavigne, well, she would be found dead at her home, and her family, record label, and anyone else in the circle kept quiet. Rumors say she died from suicide by hanging, or possibly an overdose, but there was no foul play, so that's never been something that's suspected. Avril Lavigne or Melissa Vandella, one of them, of course, would later go on to marry Captain Ash Cheeks himself, Chad Kroeger of Nickelback. And that's when you'd think you would actually off yourself. Yeah, I said it. The saddest moment of a child's life isn't when he finds out that Santa is not real. It's when they find out that Nickelback is. Avril Lavigne's doppelganger, Melissa Vandella, stepped in to take her place. I guess they thought she looks kind of like Avril. She actually does look a lot like Avril. Again, you have to notice jawlines and stuff like that. You'll see all these photos on Twitter. It's not hard to step in. You know, you're performing on a stage. You look just like this person. You can lip sync. And like I said, Melissa Vandella could sing a little bit. Why did they do this? Well, the machine behind Avril Lavigne wanted to continue to capitalize on the young female performer's gigantic and growing fan base, which had kind of become a mini movement, really. A lot of people with this theory use the word clone, but this isn't sci-fi. Melissa Vandella is a person, and again, Melissa could sing a little bit. So the second album of Avril's career, Under My Skin, was released, supposedly, by the pop-punk princess after her death. From the first to the second album, only 2 years had passed. Then it gets more confusing than a striped dog named Spot. Striped dog named Spot. I rented a room, Creeps, in St. Pete, by the beach, like 9 miles away. And I rent from this married couple, these two older guys. And they have a dog named Charlie, and Charlie loves me and is with me right now as I record. So say hi, Charlie. Or I'll scratch your nuts. Okay, cool. So we are back to that second album, the follow-up to that ginormous first debut album, but now with Melissa at the reins, because Avril is dead. Released in 2004, Under My Skin is a totally different CD from the first one. Music junkies had never seen a singer change her singing style, composition, even fashion sense and behavior as much as they had with Avril Lavigne, especially not in only, what, a 2-year span? And everyone was abuzz about it at the time. It wasn't just the music style or the way of dressing that changed. That's weird, sure, but that could be possible. That could just be something that someone does. Not likely, especially at that age, and you have this brand, why would you change it? Her identity, though, it was somehow different. The musical presentation was different. The songwriting even changed drastically. It was creeps as if she simply was someone else. This new album seemed to leak details involving Avril's passing in the record's lyrics, booklet, and promotional materials. Most specifically in the songs My Happy Ending and Nobody's Home. Now, remember that Melissa Vandella and Avril Lavigne had grown to be best friends. Melissa Vandella is now kind of taking the reins of singing on this new album. So, it was as if Melissa Vandella was trapped in this role, and God knows how far the music industry could go, you know? They could easily, I mean, it's like mafia shit, you know? But she was sort of trapped in this role. I'm sure she enjoyed the fame and the money and all that, but she seemed to almost want to tell the truth. Under My Skin was an album full of subliminal messages left by the, quote, new Avril, a.k.a. Melissa Vandella, who, again, was Avril's best friend. Let's look at it, starting with the cover and title. So if you pull up the CD, if you have it from your childhood, whatever, the CD is called Avril Lavigne, Under My Skin, which itself is very suggestive. Under My Skin. Think about that. From then on, it was no longer the real Avril, but, quote, the new Avril Lavigne under the skin of another singer. Okay, might be a stretch. Note that the name Avril Lavigne on this CD cover is written in black, which represents mourning for the singer. The name Under My Skin is in red. So the colors on the cover seem to suggest mourning and blood. So I might be talking out of my ass, you think? These are just some minor. We're kind of dipping our toe into the water of the Avril Lavigne conspiracy here, right? So, if Melissa Vandella, the new Avril, was trying to pass on some hidden message, she succeeded because a Brazilian fan blog for Avril began noticing this drastic and dramatic change and actually brought this theory to millions online. Now, in recent years, the person behind this blog came out and said, no, I was just testing the waters to show how easily, you know, people can be duped into hoaxes. Well, that seems fishy to me because, one, the evidence that the blog offered up is pretty damning. And two, were there many internet hoaxes like this in 2005? Because that's when this thing first came out. It's very easy to pay people off. I'm just saying, I would sell my soul for an Impossible Whopper at Burger King. The booklet for the new CD is obscure and dark, and Melissa Vandella poses for the album photos with a sad and morbid expression. Shout out to the Morbid Podcast. And she's often sprawling on the floor as if she's wanting to say something. She's just got that look, you know, the body language. Basically, someone should have put out a warrant for Avril Lavigne, the real one at the time. You know, I had an outstanding warrant once, and my parents were so proud. Because all of my prior warrants had been mediocre. Wah, wah, wah. So differences between the original, the real OG, Avril Lavigne, and Melissa Vandella are indisputable because they include, again, height, nose, jawline, eye shape, and freckles. So in 2002, Avril Lavigne was 5'2", tiny girl, whereas this new Avril Lavigne is 5' even, which is impossible. Unless, of course, Melissa is 5 feet. Ah. Also, creeps, freckles and height don't typically change, especially not in young people in that short of a time frame. Avril's skin now looked different. And actually, skin blemishes are permanent and unchanging from the day you're born till the day you die. So we have obvious height and style changes. The old Avril Lavigne once said that she would never wear, quote, cute fashion clothes in the diva style, and she in fact despised the actual word diva. Remember, she's this wannabe punk, you know, skater girl, blah, blah, blah. Yet, suddenly Avril, the new Avril, Melissa, dresses in the way that the original Avril despises, and she sort of receives this title of diva and seems to embrace it. We see a different face as dictated by the nose, and that nose was actually reviewed to be different. It was reviewed by a specialist in such things. Then we have the most obvious, and that is the voice of the new Avril Lavigne, Melissa Vandella. Her voice is much thinner, and she cannot reach the same notes that the old Avril could. For example, if you have a good ear for music, compare the songs Complicated and I'm With You. So, creeps, I am still angling for some sponsorship. So, next, to prove my ability, I will be taking a classic Coca-Cola ad, I'd Like to Buy a World, the World a Coke, from 1971. But here's the catch. I'm going to do it in Spanish, and I'm going to do it right now. BRB.
En la cima de una colina en Italia, reunimos a los jóvenes de todo el mundo para traerte este mensaje de los embotelladores de Coca-Cola por todo el mundo. Es lo real, Coca-Cola. Y cantaron, me gustaría comprarle un hogar al mundo y amueblarlo con amor. Cultiva manzanos y abejas melíferas y tórtolas blancas como la nieve. Me gustaría enseñarle al mundo a cantar en perfecta armonía. Me gustaría comprarle al mundo una Coca-Cola y hazle campaña. Coca-Cola, eso es lo real.
Well, I hope that Spanish commercial wasn't too terrible for you. It's really weird living in sort of South Florida. So I get like all these Spanish channels and I love it. And I have to watch things on closed captioning anyway because I'm sort of deaf. Like I can hear the volume, but the words jumble. So closed captioning is always on. And I'm obsessed with several of these Spanish language shows. And when I'm watching them, I'm reading the closed captioning, and I studied Spanish for a long time, and I'm pretty smart and have a good base with Latin. I can follow the show with the closed captioning as if I'm watching Modern Family or whatever. But for some reason, I cannot speak Spanish or hear it. But I can sit down and write a letter, and it's just so bizarre. So for my Latino and Latina creeps out there, if I botched your language, I apologize. But I do love what is on the TV down here. It is amazing. If you don't have a chance to watch these shows, creeps, just get it on satellite. Amazing. And man, these Latino people are just so beautiful. I feel like a fat pig right now. All right, back to the show, though. So, there are other obvious differences. So, Avril Lavigne, her handwriting has completely changed. Again, the photos will be on Twitter. What once was messy and jumbled and sort of pushed together too close is now almost pristine and proper. It's like being taught to print when you're a child. It's almost like a calligraphy, I want to say. It's just very strange. And Melissa, the new Avril, her autograph is completely different than the Avril Lavigne of 2002, 2003. So again, check my Twitter. That handle is at writerjohnallen, no H, to see this witchcraft. The old Avril said she would never put her body on display for cameras. Melissa Vandella, she sort of does this constantly in clips and photo essays and seems to relish in it. I mean, good on her. Beautiful woman, beautiful body and all that, but it ain't Avril, that's for sure. Avril Lavigne, after 2003, now has fewer freckles on her arm than before, which simply does not happen. Oh, and again, Twitter. There's this crazy-ass photo, right? It can't be, I don't know. Coincidence? Why would it happen? So there's a photo, very famous, of Avril. And in this photo, on her hand, written in Sharpie, she has written the name Melissa and displayed it quite blatantly. I don't know why. I mean, just why would a random name be on Avril's hand? It just doesn't make sense. I think Melissa is smacking us in the face with the truth, sort of like the way Pam smacked Michael for dating her mother in The Office. Let's get into the deeper stuff. And this involves song lyrics. We all remember Skater Boy. It's going to be in your head for the rest of the day now, right? From album one to all that follow, that peppy, poppy, feel-good bullshit is long gone. I gotta tell you, I hated early 2000s pop. If that era was a city by the sea, and say a Category 5 hurricane hit it, it would cause $5 billion in improvements. The songs after 2003, aka after Avril's death, seem like clues. Let's take that 2004 song, Nobody's Home. This song is written in third person rather than first person. So it's sort of like Melissa is writing about Avril. And it actually alludes to Avril's downfall. Remember, the debut CD was a first person thing, so why the change? Let's look at the song lyrics. This is for Nobody's Home, as the theory goes, written and sung by Melissa Vandella regarding her best friend, the now-deceased Avril Lavigne. The lyrics are, I couldn't tell you because she felt that way. She felt it every day, and I couldn't help it. I just saw her make the same mistakes again. What's wrong? What's wrong now? Many, many problems. Don't know where it belongs. Where it belongs. She wants to go home, but no one is home. That's where she is, devastated inside. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go to dry your eyes. Well, what do you think, creeps? Those lyrics seem to me as though Melissa Vandella is trying to tell us something dark has happened. There are also clues left in songs such as Slipped Away, in which she sings in one of the verses, The day you slipped away was the day I found it won't be the same. Like Tupac, there are posthumous works by the real Avril included in the disc, because before her death, you know, they had already planned on doing a second disc, obviously. Once dead, Melissa Vandella took care of finishing the second record, Avril's successor likely inserted its subliminal messages, because notice that some messages really have nothing to do with the context of the lyrics, as if they were phrases randomly inserted into the music. The second album itself is a bizarre mixture of voices and randomness, as if Melissa may have preserved some original Avril interspersed with her own content. I think this was done sort of to slowly massage the listener to not notice the changes. Like, you hear a little bit of the real Avril, but then you hear this new voice, but you hear them together and you're thinking, okay, slowly, slowly, it's becoming, okay, this is Avril, a little different. Until three albums later, the new voice is the voice you always remember. It's a very subliminal type of thing to do. There is some material from Avril that was used on this record. I think Melissa was in a tight spot. She was simultaneously telling us the truth about Avril while appeasing the label with the way the album slowly transitions from Avril to Melissa. Because again, I just don't think that she wanted to piss off this record label, because they can be brutal. Lastly, on song lyrics, we have this. This one is kind of telling to me. Evan Taubenfeld left the band the year album number 2, Under My Skin, was released. That makes no sense, because he was really good friends with Avril. He made a song basically saying he lost his best friend. So Evan Taubenfeld, who is he? He's a musician who was part of Avril's band. He was one of the best friends of Avril and had been with her by her side since the very beginning of her career. He simply left Avril just in 2004, right before the second album, Under My Skin, was released. That's not very bestie-like, eh? I had to throw an A in there because Avril is Canadian and, well, you know, when in Rome. And the most intriguing part, I think, of Evan Taubenfeld comes next, because after leaving the band, Evan composed a song entitled The Best Years of Our Lives. And he wrote this for Avril, and I am going to read the lyrics. September took me by surprise. That's when he left the band, September of 2003. And I was left to watch the seasons change. It's been so quiet since you went. Sometimes I wish I could move on. The memories will all fade away. So many things I should have said when I had the chance. I never thought this could end. I never thought I was going to lose my best friend. Everything is different now. I never thought that I would have to let you go. When we swore it would never break, and now I've been left here alone. Note also that it was he who left the band, but says, quote, I was left here alone. Yeah. Had he made this song simply saying, you know, oh, the song was about leaving the band, it wouldn't make sense for him to have written, I never thought I would lose my best friend. So there's a lot of emphasis put on this particular aspect of the case. Then we have the good old public appearances. Because, well, let's say, besides some red carpet stuff, Avril Lavigne has generally been one to sort of shy away from the public eye, mostly, including a few years ago when she was claimed to have had Lyme disease, which, as we know in the conspiracy world, would make an excellent excuse for someone seeking reclusiveness. Again, with this theory out there, you don't want Melissa Vandella to be too out in the open. So the disappearing for a couple years with Lyme disease, that is a perfect out. Now, I will say if Avril's really not dead and she did suffer Lyme disease, I apologize because that sounds dicky. But again, this is a conspiracy theory show. So, episode, I should say. Avril Lavigne, or Melissa Vandella, appeared on Australia's KIIS 1065's Kyle and Jackie O show and was asked about this conspiracy. This is a couple years ago. Quote, did you laugh at the rumors that went around where you no longer exist and there's a clone of you? Asked Jackie, the co-host of the show. So you died years ago and there's a clone pretending to be you. Yeah, some people think that I'm not the real me, which is so weird, Levine responded. Like, why would they even think that? And that was it. And this is how she responds to these questions all the time. She never denied the conspiracy in the interview and just repeatedly says, yeah, that's weird, without denying anything. So she's acknowledging the rumor, but she has yet to deny it. If you're living and someone has this rumor about you, wouldn't you just be like, that's fucking bonkers. Yes, I deny it. This is me. I don't know, creeps. It's weird. And it's also time to get funny. Well, creeps, it's time once again for the Woodrow Comedy Minute that lasts longer than a minute. We really should rename this, shouldn't we, Woodrow? Now, whether the original Avril Lavigne or Melissa Vandela, some poor girl married Chad Kroeger of Nickelback. And because Woodrow had a crush on Avril Lavigne back in the day, while despising her music, today he has targeted Nickelback. And that's fair. I realized Nickelback, you know, a couple years ago, they're the big joke, the meme, all that stuff. But they earned that honor. They are terrible. I think they deserve every bad thing that's coming their way. So, yeah, Nickelback is our joke target today, because Nickelback, creeps, they should be tried at The Hague for crimes against humanity. So, without further ado, joke one from Woodrow. This is from a couple years ago. Avril Lavigne and Chad Kroeger of Nickelback are getting a divorce. Yeah, neither will get a custody of even a grain of talent. Ouch. See, this won't end well for Nickelback. It'll be like, well, you remember that day that ruined us, Woodrow? Of course you do. You're kidding me. You don't remember the rash? Seriously? The time you made us rub Cheez-Its on our naked bodies and sneak into the Gorilla Pit Zoo in Brookline, Mass? I don't care what you were on. I get jumpy around crackers and primates to this day. So, joke two. Creeps, some people say that if you play Nickelback backwards, you'll hear Satan. Even worse, if you play it forwards, you'll hear Nickelback. Wow, that's a good one. Hashtag need some aloe vera for that burn. Okay, last one. Apparently, one of the side effects of coronavirus is no taste. Yeah, thoughts and prayers go out to all the Nickelback fans out there. Well done, sir. That's our Woodrow. Back to the show. So a while back in Brazil, Avril Lavigne, or was it Melissa, was questioned about whether or not she was a clone on live TV. Remember, Brazil is where this whole thing started, so this is sort of like news for that part of the world. And guess what happened? She fumbled the entire performance. The video is available on YouTube, and if you'd like, bookmark the following timestamps as you watch. They actually had body language experts who identified deception for the government brought in to analyze the footage, and deception they found. That's right. Someone paid good money to have these experts watch this. So she's being asked about this supposed clone. The timestamps where deception are noted, I'm going to go ahead and read those now. So at 18 seconds, the signs were the following. She was putting her hands on her face, hair, and ears when she spoke. When a person is lying, they tend to look at the floor or close their eyes for a long time. She was doing this. Another nonverbal sign of a lie is a forced smile, which involves your mouth muscles and not the rest of your face muscles. All of these are detected around the 18-second mark of this video. Next, creeps, we go to the 45-second mark. Now watch the part of the interview where Avril is asked about the event in question, the doppelganger switch. They say here to pay attention to her eyes as they are closed for a time longer than normal. Now you want to slide on over to 2 minutes and 20 seconds. We'll examine her replies. Her reply is one that is confused. First, she said she knew about the story of the clone, but then her story changes and she says she learned about it just then from the host that asked her. Note the moment when she really responds to a question, but only says, "Well, I'm here. I'm here in Brazil." And when she's jokingly called a clone, she clams up and stays quiet. There's this very awkward pause, kind of one of those things that's hard to watch, and the interviewers change the subject. Cringe AF, like seeing your grandparents engaged in coitus. I went on YouTube myself and compared interviews from the first album to beyond. So the first album is all Avril. She died, so anything past the first album is the doppelganger Melissa. After the supposed death, Melissa's interviews are strange, to say the least. She seems ditzier and has zero confidence in her answers. She's like a deer in the headlights through these things, uncomfortable, doesn't want to be there, as if she's scared. She undergoes this persona of someone who feels like maybe a handler is watching. She doesn't know how to be normal and relaxed and comfortable, even in easy situations. There's this interview in England, and it's a British presenter, and it's just a cake interview. It's, you know, we're sitting on a couch, feet up, and she can't get comfortable. It's very, very strange. She also uses different hand gestures in these interviews, and if you compare the original Avril to the one today, she has a noticeably deeper voice. Her face is like when you meet twins, but you can tell one from the other because there's something slight, you know. It's very slight, but there's a noticeable difference, and you can always tell the one twin from the other. So there's the case, creeps. Is it real, or is it phonier than a football bat? Her Twitter is aflame with fans begging for proof, namely that she take a photo of herself next to Melissa Vandella. That would put an end to all this nonsense, right? Or at the very least, explain that lingering weird photo of her with Melissa written on her hand. Again, it's on my Twitter. But honestly, guys, who the hell knows? Body doubles, I will say, are historically factual. Hitler had one, Saddam Hussein, the royal family, and then as mentioned, even Britney Spears and Johnny Depp make that list. By the way, I notice a lot of girls on my Facebook and so forth are on Johnny Depp's side with this whole Amber Heard thing. Johnny Depp used to be my favorite actor, and I think he's a brilliant actor, but why are you on Johnny's side? He lost a lot of rank with me. He beat the shit out of Amber Heard. Don't just believe Johnny Depp because he's some handsome guy and you admire his ability. He beat the shit out of her. There's photos. I don't get that. But anyway, the body double stuff, that cannot be discounted. As for the rest of the tale, I can't say for sure. If you were to give me 5 cents to answer that question, I'd say here's your nickel back. Well, creeps, we have reached the end of another conspiracy episode, and I am questioning everything. I want to say thanks again to everyone who's been helping the show. If your body double or doppelganger would like to join the sexy MFers, you can do so, or they can do so, by going to patreon.com/creepycrawl, Venmo at jonathan-allen-154, and do be sure to follow me on the Bluebird for all kinds of updates and things that I think are funny, and the pictures that put these stories together. That handle is at writer John Allen, no H, boy band style. The fake imaginary outro pretend music for today is, hold on, random shuffle on Spotify, still going. It's like that wheel on Price is Right. Oh, Mad About You by Belinda Carlisle. I am still mad crushing on Belinda Carlisle, and I have since 1983. Creeps, if you like Marvel movies, you know that after the credits, which is what we are currently doing right now, they always have a post-credit scene. Oh, I want to give myself another shot at a classic commercial in Spanish. So, after these credits, stand by if you would like to hear me do the classic Wendy's Where's the Beef commercial, but in Spanish, because I'm going to get that damn sponsor. Hey, until next time, keep your tank top white, your necktie straight, and Creepy Crawl on. Hey, you made it. You're here for the post scenes, just like Marvel. I am going to take us back to 1984 when Clara Peller did her famous Wendy's Where's the Beef commercial. I am going to read it in Spanish, and Wendy's, if you're listening, go ahead and sponsor this creepy old crawl. Here we go. Ciertamente es un gran moño. Es un moño muy grande. Bollo grande y espinosa. Es un bollo muy grande y espinosa. ¿Dónde está la carne? Algunos lugares de hamburguesas te dan mucho menos carne en un montón de pan. ¿Dónde está la carne? En Wendy's. Servimos una hamburguesa. Modestamente la llamamos single. Y Wendy's single. ¿Tiene más carne que el Whopper o Big Mac? En Wendy's obtienes más carne y menos pan. Oye, ¿dónde está la carne? No creo que haya nadie ahí atrás. ¿Quieres algo mejor? Eres el tipo de gente de Wendy. And scene. You're welcome.